strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Peleus Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, you should have a lot of fury tonight, folks. Come on now. Coming off the bye, let's hear the energy. Let's bring it tonight on the Big Red Rage. Wolf needs to feed off your energy. No excuses tonight, Wolf. Don't mail it in or anything. You're coming off the bye. You should be ready to go.
Paul, once again, you are pandering, of course, to the crowd.
Calais Campbell needed the bye. Now, I'm not talking about your play or anything. Tied for the team lead in sacks. You're fourth in tackles. You're bringing it. We know that. Don't say anything yet, Calais. You needed the bye for the Big Red Rage. Specifically, your voice, your throat needed the bye. How are you doing right now? The speaking voice, as I hold my breath.
You know, I'm doing a lot better.
Oh, but, that's pretty good.
You know, I'm still, I'm getting there. You know, it's hard not to talk. They told me I had to talk for a whole week. That's impossible, but I talk way too much. I enjoy talking, you know. I did okay for like 3 days, but after that third day, it was like impossible. You know, I had to say a little bit here and there, and then when practice started up again, you know.
I think that was the over-under, Wolf. I think it was 3 days on the week-long, you know, prognosis, how long you get. They said, wait a minute, there's no way he makes it past 3 days without saying anything. There's just no way. He's Calais Campbell.
Yeah, but I really don't think it's about talking. I think at some point in time, he's screaming. And I think we heard that in the open, right? We hear that every week in the open. Calais just screaming on the field. One of the best things about being a National Football League player is once you walk in between those white lines, you can scream at the very top of your lungs and everyone looks at you like, dude, you're fired up, aren't you? I mean, it's a great thing.
How do you feel coming off the bye? I mean, is there a notable difference in maybe 3 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. I feel a lot better. A whole lot better. I mean, my whole body just, you know, you get that time where you get to get in the hot tub, cold tub, relax, just kick back, kick your feet up. I mean, relaxing. I mean, you don't really get that in the NFL, you know. So those, you know, really 4 days they gave us off, there's a lot of relaxing going on. It's awesome. I feel way better.
So, Calais, I would imagine just listening to you that you're one of these guys. You like the bye. You really enjoy having the bye in the middle of the season, right?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I mean, this was perfect. You know, 8 games, take, relax, you know, catch your breath, and then finish out the season hard with 8 more games. I mean, that's
right.
Perfect. You can't get better days than that.
But there are guys, aren't there? There are guys. Dare I say that I was one of them back when
I was
playing.
Guys or guys?
No,
meaning you.
No.
You, Wolf.
Patrick Peterson, for example, he doesn't like the fact that there is a bye. There are guys that don't really enjoy it, right?
Yeah, there are a few. You know, but
the majority does,
I'm not
right?
One of them.
What was the highlight of the bye? What'd you do? Rest, relaxation, recreate. What'd you do? What was the highlight?
I kind of watched some movies, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I watched a whole bunch of movies, man.
Boy, you shut it down, didn't you? Shut it down hard.
Yeah.
It's not going to be hard to ramp it back up, is it? I mean, there's not going to be some sort of lingering malaise coming off the bye on Sunday, is there?
No, not at all, man. This game I love. It don't take much to get me hyped.
Okay.
You know, it's quick and easy, you know.
Paul, you're so accusatory.
Just want to make sure over there. Just making sure. I got a lot of energy myself. I got to dial it down a little bit. I got to pace myself over here.
You got a lot of paste on your face, too.
It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Jack Roush, the legendary NASCAR figure, is signing till 8 o'clock at Santan Ford. We're coming at you from Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Touchdown, Cardinals! Matt Shaughnessy tipped it. Dan Williams got his paws on it, picked it off, and it's a touchdown. Ball on the ground, and the Cardinals have it at midfield. A botched handoff, and Matt Shaughnessy with the recovery. In trouble, sacking the ball, comes out, and I think the Cardinals got it again. Cardinals need to come up with this ball, and they do. They've got it, and Shaughnessy with the fumble recovery. This is huge. And back to throw goes Wilson with time in the pocket. Going to get hit by Shaughnessy and sacked. At the 7-yard line, the ball is fumbled. It's still loose, and the Cardinals have it. It's picked off by Campbell, and he's tackled at the 3-yard line.
Dirt Lickers unite! Matt Shaughnessy gives you everything he's got every play. He just kept going.
That's the ultimate honor, is it not, Wolf? That is the ultimate praise from you and Dave Pasch there. And let me tell you, as a guy on the sideline, I've heard every moment of every Cardinals broadcast. You have called Matt Shaughnessy's name a ton this season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A dirt licker indeed.
Well, and now we let Calais Campbell here on the Big Red Rage call out the name of his teammate. A guy you called out. Remember the first Big Red Rage we did? I think it was 2 weeks into camp. And I think the question to you from Wolf and myself was, who's standing out? Who's a new guy? Or who's making a mark? And immediately you see the guy who's on your left right now.
Yeah, man. I like to call him Mr. Utility Man. You know, you can put him in the three technique, you know, he's going to represent. You put him outside the wheel backer, he's going to represent. He's playing Sam a lot lately. And the guy just makes plays everywhere he's at, you know. And so, you know, no further ado, my man Matt Shaughnessy.
How about that? Now, Matt, you're all over the stat page here. I mean, whether it's the forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, pressures, hits, you know, tackles for loss, sacks. I mean, where did this ability to do a little bit of everything and do it very well come from?
I mean, just playing football, and I plug in wherever the coaches need me.
Matty, when they told you they were going to play at Sam, though, was there a little bit of trepidation there? Because that's a little bit different from what you've done, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little nervous, but you know, they broke it down pretty good, and they kept it simple that first week, and I did pretty well.
So are you flopping, by the way? Do you flop when they change strength?
Yeah, I go to the strength.
You go to the strength always.
Yep.
So that's very interesting because, to me, that's one of the reasons why you guys are so much better against the run this year is because, boy, you are not the typical Sam backer. You're much bigger than a lot of Sam backers in the National Football League. It's one of the reasons why tight ends have a hard time blocking you, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it came from being in Oakland and playing the traditional end. And, I mean, being stout like that helps playing Sam.
Yeah, were you much more singular sort of in the position the way they used you in Oakland? Or did they use you all over the place similar to what you've done this season for the Cardinals?
I was just end in Oakland.
So the Cardinals identified you on film. Remember that? Steve Keim was talking about that a little bit, Calais. And what do you think they saw? When they were watching your 4 years in Oakland, what do you hope he saw? And what do you think resulted in him offering you a contract during free agency?
I mean, just the way I play, the way I always got a motor, always going hard on the field and setting the edge and getting after the passer.
Setting the edge, what does that mean, Calais? Because I was talking to Matt earlier today, and we were in San Francisco, and their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, he was assessing the Cardinals' defense. That's one of the first things he said was, we got to figure out, you know, how to do something about this Shaughnessy guy who keeps setting the edge out there and doing it very well. Explain it, football 101. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, so pretty much when a running back gets the ball and he wants to go outside, he wants to break out and, you know, get some running room down the edge, you need a guy like Matt Shaughnessy to step up and put an anchor down, you know, make sure he can't go outside. He sets the edge. He forces everything back inside where guys like me and Dockett and, you know, D-Wash is running through and we're making plays. And, man, I love it because he makes my job a lot easier.
That's where you eat, right?
Boom. Oh, yeah.
Matty, you've got a lot of quarterback grease on your hands this year, haven't you? I mean, you've been very, very active. What's your favorite move?
Speed to power.
Speed to power. Meaning up the field and then bull?
Yeah, bull.
Yeah. See, to me, I know that. And watching you on film, one of the best things about it is you're up the field and then here it comes. And there's a lot of guys that do it very, very well, but you are really built for that. Up the field and then the ball and bringing it. But it's really hard to do, right? Because it is taxing. It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you, but it's a good setup.
Because what's your changeup off the ball?
I like stab rip. Just coming off the edge. Or
stab rip?
Move. Yep.
Like rip on, arm under?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, nice.
How many different terms are there,
this
by the way?
This is technical, isn't it?
I'm intrigued by this.
You're asking
I'm intrigued by this speed to power. All right, I'm going to go Pauly Pencilneck over here. You know, I think speed to power, I'm thinking like the blender, you know, like the puree. You know, you're hitting the different buttons, speed to power, you know. How many different terms and moves are there, Calais?
There's a whole bunch. You know, everybody has some kind of move that I coined and made cool, but there's only so much you can do in theory. I mean, you call it different things, but, you know, I mean, speed to power is pretty much a bull rush. It's just the best way to do a bull rush.
I see. Okay.
Boy, I love all that right now. You know, back in the day, we just go, it was a bull rush. Yeah, you just bull it. Now it's, well, speed to power. You know, I mean, just all, it's a different. What about you, Calais? What do you go to? What is your go-to move?
You know what?
Or do you know? Do you know when you get in your stance what it is that you're going
to
do?
I mean, a lot of times I try to just go play football and let whatever happened happen. Which is
so in other words, like the guard, if he oversets or something,
yeah,
like
just
that,
react
right?
To what they give.
Just react to what they do.
But what happens to work the best all the time?
Yeah,
is my swim move.
My swim.
It's nice. And yeah, I was talking to some guys the other day, like Adamita, our nose tackle, and he was talking about, like, you know, I have high right, low left. I have scoliosis, so like one side can be higher than another. You know, if I don't get adjusted right. And so I told him, I was joking with him, that it makes me better in football.
Wait a minute. You're telling me your scoliosis helps you with your
swim move? I dip my shoulder, come over top. I mean,
that's one of those God-given competitive advantages that you just can't teach.
I've heard it all.
You know, that might have been the one thing they missed at the combine. Was the scoliosis that gives you the superior swim move.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you think they get everything at the combine. I bet you they missed that.
They missed that.
They missed that.
I would have been a first-round pick if they seen that. You know, second round, I'll take it.
This is really complicated stuff to understand, too, the swim move, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a lot of people out there listening right now don't know what the swim move is. Can you go ahead and break it down in detail what the swim move is, Calais?
Are you making fun of my question from earlier, Wolf? Is that what you're doing right now?
No. Maybe a little.
The swim move is pretty simple, but there are different ways to do a swim move. You
right.
Know? I mean, like he said, I mean, sometimes you get the power in there first.
Right.
And you come over the swim move. Or sometimes you come off the jump and you swipe his hands and come a swim move. I mean, there's so many ways to do a swim move.
But the swim is what? It is. Go ahead, Calais. Tell them what it is.
It's when you come over the top of a person and go right by him. You swim over the top of him. I mean, it's
like a freestyle swim, right, in the Olympics. You lift the arm up. You know, Paul, I know you want to know this stuff, Paul.
Yeah. First of all, he's talking down to me. Anybody who's mistaken, this is Wolf's way of talking down to me.
So
I just want to clarify this. And number two, Matt, I'd like to apologize. Usually we conduct the show at a much higher level.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a horrible first impression for you. All right, because here we are on the show. And normally we like to think of it as an educated football talk show here of some sort. And I don't know where this thing went exactly.
We'll get there.
Wolf's over there, you know, speed to power. Pretty soon we're breaking down, you know, his dance moves at a family wedding. That's what Wolf sounds like.
I like the way Matty said that, Paul. Speed to power. You know,
I mean,
it's the ball. Speed to power sounds so much better, though, doesn't it?
I tell you what, that was the It's All About You segment presented by Santan Ford. I'm going to put that on Wolf. That was all about Wolf and his inane questions over there that got us started down this path. That's who I'm going to blame that thing on. I'm getting
Speaking
a nod
of the
out
names,
of Calais, you know.
My goodness.
Like, you know. By the way, we're going to come back, and I want to know something. If Wolf is picking up on certain things on film, you know what they do in the bye week. You self-scout, right? You look at your own film and you see, do you have any tendencies or liabilities? I want to see what you guys maybe saw. And if that pertains to your own particular game, it's a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Calais Campbell and Matt Shaughnessy at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Off left tackle, it's Jackson. Gets to the line of scrimmage and that's it. Calais Campbell gets him at the feet and brings him down. Right side, no running room for Jackson. He has stood up and slammed down for a loss on the play by Calais Campbell. Over the middle, the ball deflected and incomplete. It was Calais Campbell who tipped it.
The walking tree, putting the limbs up, batting that ball down. How about Calais Campbell once again? Have a day.
Let's pick up where you guys left off against Atlanta instead of picking up where Wolf left off in that last segment. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell and his special guest, Matt Shaughnessy. What'd you like most about that 27-13 win against the Falcons?
You know, we played really good defense that game. You know, we limited our mistakes and we really flew around. We had fun. You know, I'm still mad that we gave them that one touchdown.
I know you guys are, yeah.
But, you know, that's, you know, referees had a little hand in there, you know. I mean, I'm just saying they gave them another opportunity to score, and they did. But, I mean, we played hard. We left it on the field, and we really believe we could win. You know, our confidence is huge.
You know what, guys? There are only two teams in the National Football League, and they both have a game in hand, I might add. There are only two that have more takeaways than you guys have this year. What has been your secret in taking the ball away? You had, what, four against the Atlanta Falcons?
Yep. And four sacks in that game as well. Anything that you attributed to all the takeaways, Calais?
You know, I think, you know, really comes with just practicing hard and, you know, just, I mean, every time we're out there on the field, we're trying to pull out the ball and rip it out. Which, I mean, all the DBs are always catching interceptions in practice. I mean, every time the ball's in the air, they're trying to go get it. You know, and you practice those habits, it carries over in the game. And just on game day, you know, good things happen.
So can you coach takeaways, Matt? I mean, is that something that you can, you know, sort of put into a team's DNA, a defense, you know, in practice?
Yeah, I mean, every day you practice and, you know, picking the ball off and stripping the ball, it's gonna come into the game.
So, Matty, when you are closing in, like you're closing in on a quarterback, are you thinking to yourself, strip, strip, strip? Is that going through your mind, or are you just reacting?
Well, I think when you practice it so much, it just becomes a habit, like a reaction. It just happens naturally.
What do you like about what Todd Bowles has done with his defense this season, Matt? You know, I mean, you know, everyone's in the same boat, right? They're playing under him for the first time. But I hear a lot of different guys with a lot of different things to say about Todd Bowles, and all very complimentary. But, you know, I asked Calais what he liked most about it against Atlanta. How about what he is doing with the defense right now?
I like how he switches it up and he brings people. I mean, we're always blitzing, we're always coming. It's not boring at all. You know, it's not just, you know, a base defense, this is what we're doing. I mean, there's always something going on.
Calais, if you could, go ahead and compare defenses that you've played in the past with defenses that you're playing right now under Todd Bowles. How complicated is it? Is it about the same? Is it more complicated? Is it less?
You know, I've never had so many plays before. I mean, we have a really thick playbook on
really?
Defense, which is, you know, is different because, I mean, they really require us to learn a lot, you know, and I mean, I love it because it gives us so many more weapons when we go into the game. I mean, we can do so many more things.
What about you, Matt, coming over from the Raiders? How much more complex or less complex is this defense?
I mean, it looks like a lot, but a lot of it's the same. Like, it's always just one little piece that's different, like each week, because it has to change because teams are going to pick up on things.
Is it kind of the terminology that's the hardest part for you to actually pick up on? Was that the hardest part, the change in terminology?
Totally new coming here.
Yeah,
the terminology is
right.
Different.
So if you look at last year's defense, and I ask this to you, Calais, because you were in that game obviously a year ago when the Cardinals had 5 interceptions of Matt Ryan. And going into the game, we're like, well, okay, you're not going to get 5 interceptions of Matt Ryan. You got 4. So what's going on there, and how were you guys able to almost duplicate that effort?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, just putting pressure on him. You know, Matt Ryan, he's such a playmaker that when you he wants to throw the ball up and give his receivers a chance to make a play. And he has great receivers that can. So, I mean, it works for him. But we also have really good guys in the backfield that have good ball skills. And we put pressure on him. We were hitting him left and right. You know, I mean, we only had 4 sacks, but we were hitting him a whole lot more than that. And he's seen that. And when you get hit like that as a quarterback, you're always going to throw interceptions. That's just the nature of the business.
You know, there was something that happened, an occurrence before the game, the Atlanta game, and I want to know, Dave Pasch, the play-by-play guy, actually picked up on it. Interesting that the sideline guy missed it, but Dave Pasch actually picked up on it, and I wonder if you guys did, that the black cat that crossed the field, a black cat allegedly living at University of Phoenix Stadium, crossed the field and crossed the path of Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan saw it and, like, stood there and looked at the black cat and then went out and threw 4 picks. Did you guys see it? And fill us in. Fill us in
I
on
saw
the details.
Cat.
You did.
Yeah.
You saw the cat. What'd you think, Matt?
I was like, who brought the cat in?
Exactly.
Now, Matt,
how does a cat
the
get on a football field?
The moment you saw it, did you ever think a member of the media would ask you about it as being a key to the game? Because, you know, Wolf's over here ripping the quality of my questions, and then all of a sudden he's wanting to know how much the cat had to do with 4 interceptions thrown by Matt Ryan. I mean, my goodness. Really? You know, and by
Calais,
the way, Wolf, I did see it in the pregame. I was looking for some salt to throw over my shoulder because I was a little freaked out over there.
But, Calais, have you ever seen anything like that? Because, I played 10 years in the National Football League. I've been around it my whole life. My brother played 12 years. I asked him the same thing. Have you ever seen a cat, let alone a black cat, on the field? Have you ever seen anything like that?
I think we need to beef up our security a little bit.
Seriously. I just thought it was very interesting because he threw 5 picks the last time we played him, and now he throws 4. And the black cat freaked him out, Paul. I'm telling you right now, you can see it.
Wolf, are you interrogating our guests? Are you like sort of a legend? Maybe they packed one in their game bag or something, let it loose on the field? I mean, are you insinuating or alleging something?
I'm not saying that, but based on Dave Pasch and his eyewitness account, Matt Ryan was smitten by the black cat, like stopped and went, whoa.
So maybe they should add a column to Matt Ryan's stat column. You know, it's just add one in there. Attempts, completions, yards, you know, touchdowns, interceptions, QB rating, and then the last one, BC for Black Cat 1. Is
you
that
know
what
would be awesome? Why not release the cat? Like the Kraken. Release right. the Kraken.
Right.
Release yeah. the cat every game, Paul.
Now
find
Wolf.
The cat and release the cat.
Now Wolf's in the marketing department, and he's running game ops.
Tell me that wouldn't be a great idea.
Okay. I tell you what, Wolf, you know, as a former flag boy, just grab the flag, and then you can make that happen along with the game day crew and the cheerleaders over there.
Paul, you need more rouge.
Okay. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back with more. Coletta's and Matt Shaughnessy.
First down for the Cardinals on the 20. They're going to run Ellington up the middle. He cuts left and has running room at the 30-yard line. At the 40, it's a foot race at the 50. Near side 40. At the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! An 80-yard run by the super rookie, Andre Ellington.
Hands on the ground, running an inside zone. All he did was run that 35 belly, bounced it to the outside, and it was nothing but a foot race. Andre Ellington with a great read and showing the Jets get the edge.
Tell you, we were doing a sideline report at that point in the game. I was so glad I got out before the snap because, boom, there went Andre Ellington and
goodness.
Dave Pasch was able to bring you the call. Ron Wolf there on the Cardinals radio network. That was big time. So are the numbers on the six-round pick. How about that 80-yard touchdown run, making for 154 yards total on 15 carries. That was his first career start there in Week 8. The young man is averaging nearly 8 yards per carry, and that is the highest among all NFL players with at least 40 carries this season. How about a thought, Matt Shaughnessy and Calais Campbell, on Andre Ellington? Oh, Matt, what do you think?
He came in and he stepped up and he played hard, and you know that's what we needed him to do.
How long before you realize, okay, this kid can be a playmaker? Because, come on, every rookie who comes in, right? I don't know whether it's OTAs or mini camps. You got to wait to training camp. Y'all looking at him and say, okay, what does he really have?
I mean, we saw it in camp.
Yeah. I knew he was special the moment he got on the field. You know, I mean, I watched him in college and thought he was pretty good, thought he could be a good player. We drafted him. I was like, yeah, I like that pick. You know, he gets in camp and you know, I see him making cuts and stuff. I'm like, wow, this kid's going to be special. You know, and I think he was, you know, probably worked, rotated in like the fifth back we had.
Yeah.
You know, he just worked his way up, you know, patient and just one play at a time. And I mean, now, I mean, he's our most explosive player, I think, on the offense. I mean, you get the ball in his hands, he could do some damage.
You know, Matt, you kind of critiqued Andre Ellington with a little bit of disdain right there. Is it because he's a rookie that you were so short? You know, he stepped in and he did the job. You know, was it because he's a rookie? How do you feel about rookies? Do you
guess
treat
that's
them
that,
any differently?
It's that next man up mentality rubbing off that coach talks about.
Just blunt and to the point.
But you know what? When he went for the 80-yarder, true or false, nearly every guy on the defense got up off that bench and you were flying down there because he fires the defense up. Everyone in the stadium was out of their seat.
I mean, yeah. I mean, first of all, we didn't realize it was coming. I mean, it's been a long time since we had a run like that, you know. I mean, so for a guy to, you know, just, I mean, the cut he made and then hit the sideline like that, of course I was running down the sideline. I was like, I didn't want to miss that. I was like, is this true? I was rubbing my eyes. I can't believe this just happened.
Did you guys happen to see the blocks by the wide receiver on that play? I can tell you right now, Larry Fitzgerald went ahead. He motioned down, and here comes Desmond Trufant, the corner, right, lined up over Larry. Then he shoots his gun, fires his gun out of the slot. Desmond Trufant, the corner. Larry makes an incredible adjustment to block him because that allowed Andre Ellington to make that cut back all the way back. Larry sealed him off. A great block by Larry Fitzgerald. And then Michael Floyd pinned the corner, who unbelievably jumped on the inside. He pinned the corner, which allowed Andre again to bounce it outside again and go 80 yards. The wide receivers, and you know what? It made me think of Bruce Arians, because that's who Bruce Arians is, right? He demands that out of his wide receivers.
And what you didn't see or mention is Andre Roberts. Took off downfield and was, you know, he met him in the end zone trying to make a block on the guy that was chasing him. I mean, he didn't need to because Ellington was fast enough, but, I mean, he was there to make a block if he had to.
You know what, Matt? There's really nothing like running the football, right? Especially if you're a defensive guy, you're out there, and there's nothing that will demoralize a defense quicker than the other team just lining up and shoving it down your throat, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think most defense try to pride themselves on, you know, stopping the run.
You know, you think about it, too. You guys are number four in rush defense in the league, and number three in average yards per carry allowed, allowing only 3.43 yards per carry. You guys got to be really fired up about that. That is something to hang your hat on and say, this is who we are. Do you think, Calais, it's important that you have an identity?
Of course. You know, I mean, I think every defense, like he said, like Shaughnessy said, is stopping the run is where you really make your mark. That's where you. That's where people, like, they look at you and say, okay, this defense is real. They can stop the run. They shut it down. It makes teams one-dimensional. And you know, we're fourth right now, but we're trying to be number one. You know what I mean? Fourth isn't good enough. We're still getting better.
But when a guy runs at 80 yards, to Wolf's point, you know, deflating, and there, you know, you're grinding a team down, you're running the ball, and you're smashing them right up front. But when a guy rips off an 80-yard run and nobody catches him, what does that do to a defense? Because the next time the Cardinals got the ball, they went down six plays, 78 yards, and scored again to make it 21-6. It looked like Atlanta was still sort of reeling from giving up that long run.
Yeah, man, long runs will break you, you know. I mean, everybody in the defense is trying to figure out what happened, because, I mean, our scheme is made to shut down the run. I mean, there's nowhere to go if everybody does something right. But when somebody does something wrong, gets out of the gap, you know, it breaks for like 10, 15. You know, then somebody else is doing something wrong for it to go 30, 40, for it to go for an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, that's a lot of people doing the wrong thing at one time.
That's huge. You know what, though? What I loved is he had 14 other carries in this game, and he averaged 5.2 yards per carry. If you take away the 80-yard run, okay, take that away, he still had 14 carries for 74 yards. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry.
Get that man
That's
the ball.
That's what I love.
Get that man the ball.
Absolutely. Line up on first and 10 and rip it for 5. Rip it for 6. Get it for 7. That's demoralizing when you do it play after play after play.
Hey, with each passing touchdown this season, the Cardinals had 2 against Atlanta. Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools for the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together, we'll go far. We continue to roll on. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Jack Roush speaking and signing over at Santan as we speak. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. We continue with Calais Campbell and Matt Shaughnessy.
Try to throw it out right, and it's intercepted by a defensive lineman. J.J. Watt to the house. Touchdown, Houston Texans. And the Texans take their first lead.
First day he got in the league, you knew he was going to be the real deal. Right? You know, as a rookie, he played day one of camp. You know, he was playing with that leverage that usually rookies don't play with. So you knew he was going to be a good player. Obviously, I don't think anybody knew how good. He's the best of the best.
Former Texan Eric Winston, Cardinals' current right tackle, talking about his former teammate J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans as the Texans come into town on Sunday for a Week 10 battle, although they are on a 6-game losing streak right now. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, Calais Campbell and Matt Shaughnessy. Now, speaking of former teammates, I asked you this earlier, Matt. You're both from Wisconsin, but your playing careers didn't totally intersect, at least not on the field, correct?
Yeah, he transferred in, so we had to take a year off. So his year off was my senior year.
I see. So he came in, boom, because you were second team Big Ten, right? So, and then he came in. Did he essentially fill your spot in some ways?
Yeah.
On that D? Yeah. He came in, and, you know. What does he do really well? I mean, from what you guys have seen, I mean, he was NFL Defensive Player of the Year last season with 20.5 sacks. Think about that. That's mind-boggling.
I mean, that's special. You know, I mean, as a guy that plays the position, you know, and fairly well, he's definitely the best of the best. I mean, he goes out there and he has a motor. He plays with good leverage. He uses his hands well. He's very explosive. And, I mean, he's always in top condition. He's going 100 miles per hour, you know. And I respect the guy a lot, you know. He's motivated me to, you know, raise my game to another level, you know, because I want to be the best of the best, you know. And he's my competition. So, you know, I can't wait to go out there and, you know, compete against him on Sunday. But he's a stud, you know. He works hard. He does everything the right way. And, I mean, all the love he's getting, he's worked hard to get.
Calais, you know, you mentioned it right there, but how much do you watch J.J. Watt? Because the strength of J.J. Watt is not only the fact that he's got the quicks, but he uses his hands, I think, probably as well as any three technique in the NFL. And that is one of the things you're really focusing on this year, isn't it?
Yeah, and I watch him a lot. You know, I mean, we always play similar teams, and, you know, you know, we'll watch a film breaking them down, and, you know, he'll be playing against them. You know, and that's about as much as I do watch, but I watch him a lot and see what he's doing because he's always creating havoc. And, you know, I'm just curious because, you know, I mean, he is, you know, considered the best in the game. So I'm trying to see, you know, what part of his game can I you know, kind of use or adjust and see if it works in mine. And, you know, I mean, we're similar styles, but, you know, we're a little bit different, you know, but we definitely, he's a swimmer too. There's not many swimmers in the league, but he's one of them.
Yeah. Matt, go ahead and evaluate yourself. Break down yourself and the way you play as well. What do you think your strengths are?
You know, I'm setting the edge.
You like that setting the edge again, yeah.
How much did you guys self-scout? I talked about that earlier, never got back to it, so here we are. How much did you guys look at film of yourself and try, you know, as a team, I know coaches look at tendencies and so forth. Do you do that as an individual player?
Yeah, Coach, our pass rush specialist, Coach Pratt, you know, he always is uploading film, you know, good things we did, bad things that we did, and he's always trying to get us to watch ourselves and figure out, you know, what works so we can go back to it and what doesn't work so we can get away from it, you know, and he's always on me. So I watch film on myself every few weeks, you know, every 3 weeks, I think, and it's helping me a lot this year, you know, because, you know, there's certain things I go back to that I didn't even realize really worked that good, and, you know, so it's good to have good coaches that can put it in front of you and make you, you know, see it for yourself.
You know what's really interesting about the Texans, too, when you watch them on film? Their best pass rushers come from the inside. It's really, really weird, and it's also very similar to this team because you and Darnell Dockett also form a very formidable interior pass rush. But watching J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith, did you play with Antonio
Smith? I did.
You did play with Antonio Smith, right?
That guy, he's taught me a lot.
Man, those two guys, I'll tell you what, that interior pass rush from the Texans, that's what makes them special.
Yeah, I think Antonio Smith should get a lot more credit. He makes J.J. Watt a lot better, you know, because just from when I played with him, I mean, he's a teacher, you know, he can be a coach when he's done playing, and that guy's special. I mean, the game he had against the Colts last week was ridiculous.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to react? I mean, they just blew an 18-point lead, right? Lost to Indianapolis, and, you know, they just lost their coach who was hospitalized. They've lost six in a row. Emotionally, how do you think they're going to come out on Sunday?
I'm expecting to get their best shot. You know, usually when teams lose a coach, they rally behind that. So we're going to get their best shot, you know. So this will be a good game. I feel like it's going to be kind of a playoff atmosphere in a sense almost.
Interesting. All right. Hey, a reminder, 2014 Pro Bowl balloting is now open. Vote for the best players regardless of conference this year. Vote now for your favorites at azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. And yes, we're sort of hinting and pointing to the host of the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell over here. His guest, Matt Shaughnessy, will continue on. In fact, we'll talk a little bit more about Antonio Smith. He was wired up for sound back in the day in his Cardinals career. We'll hear that next on the Big Red Rage.
And how about the Rottweiler, Antonio Smith, sticking that paw out there, that 20-inch gun, and slapping the pig out.
This is the time of our life, man. Might not ever feel like this again. They said we 10-point underdog. This ain't about self today. It's about team. You know what your job is. Dude, remember we've been talking about that promised land? Promised land is here. I love being an underdog. We're supposed to be here. This is destiny. I ain't never seen you as mean as I seen you today. The big dogs came to work today.
That is former Cardinal Antonio Smith, wired for sound at Carolina a few years ago, and that's taking you down memory lane, is it not, Calais Campbell?
It is all the way. I mean, he was so motivational, and he got me so hyped. I mean, I loved him. His mindset was always about team and just getting people hyped up, and he was a screamer like me. You know, a lot of guys don't like what I scream sometimes, you know, but he was a screamer like me, and I loved it because, you know, he got me hyped.
He's just got an amazing personality, you know, and he was a big part of that Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people forget. I mean, he's a key player. I mean, he was sought after in free agency. He got a big contract. He has delivered on that contract.
Oh, yeah.
He's a former fifth-round pick. Think of the Cardinals 2004 draft class. I mean, Fitz number one, Dansby second round, Dockett right, third round, and then you had Antonio Smith in the fifth round. I mean, that's a stellar draft class, no doubt about
it. You know, they have great players, the Houston Texans, in that front seven, Bully, and I really do believe, guys, one of the keys for us is going to be being able to run the ball and being able to run it effectively, and I think we saw the fruit of that against the Atlanta Falcons. You got to remember, the Cardinals came out, they ran eight plays, they threw the ball five times, and then Carson threw that first pick, and after that, they ran 50 more plays, and only 13 were passing attempts.
Wow.
The rest of the game. I think the Cardinals are going to come out out and try to establish a rushing attack against that front seven. Do they have great players in their front seven? You better believe they have great players. But I can tell you right now, I don't think, especially missing Brian Cushing from the middle, a guy that was a huge component to that defense, I don't think it's a great front seven that the Cardinals are facing. They have great players in that front seven, don't get me wrong, but I don't think in its totality it is a great front seven. And I think we're going to see the Cardinals really pound the football. Would you guys be surprised? Would you agree with that?
100%. You know, I mean, the way we run the ball against Atlanta, you know, I mean, you have to run the ball again. You know, you have to go out there and just keep pounding it because we have some good players that can make plays happen. You know, and anytime, you know, you're just playing against a team like this that has such great pass rushers, the only way to shut them, slow them down is to run the ball and run it down their throats. I mean, that's the only way to do it, really. So
what does Antonio Smith think about that? Well, I'm glad you asked, Calais, because he was talking to the media this week, and we have the audio. We have the sound, his answer about facing his former team, the Arizona Cardinals. Antonio.
I guess it's just going to be like whooping up on your little brother. Nah, I'm just playing. I don't know. Me and Doc have been talking crap. You know, that's my brother, man. So we talk all the time. And he been giving me crap, talking about what they going to do. And I've been giving him crap. So I reckon it's going to be a pretty fun game. He pumping his boys up. I'm pumping my boys up. You know, I tell little tall tales here and there. You know, see if I can get some people motivated.
I love that guy, man.
Yeah, he was a great guest in the Big Red Rage, too. I mean, he just got this infectious personality, and he's always smiling in his locker. I mean, he was right near where you were, right, in the locker room?
Right next to me.
He's just it's just amazing, that guy.
You know, on that note, guys, are you guys ready for what the Houston Texans are going to do? Because you know, here it comes. Tackle zone, right, Matt? Tackles up. Hey, you said your strength is setting the edge. This is a big game setting the edge, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they run the ball. They pride themselves on getting the edge and running the ball, and, you know, we pride ourselves on stopping it.
They attack that tackle zone. It is a play. It's the 6-7 zone. It is the Denver Broncos tackle zone, Alex Gibbs, and their entire offense comes off one play. Does it not, Calais?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're together. They're moving in unison. They're physical. They're athletic. I mean, this will be a good matchup. I'm excited.
And especially with Case Keenum at quarterback, too, right? Because now all of a sudden the boot and the waggle is back in the game plan in a big-time way coming off that tackle zone, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, but if we can make them one-dimensional, we set ourselves up to be, you know, very effective this game. We had to shut down the run. I mean, they like to cut back. They have, you know, a whole lot of running backs that can hit the hole hard and hit it right. So we got our hands full. But if we shut down the run, and we give ourselves opportunity to really make some plays.
Hey guys, they got this one kid, Doug Johnson. Did you see this guy? This guy's like 5'7", 200 pounds, number 28, right? 5'7", think about that, 200 pounds. You want to talk about a fire hydrant with lips. That's what and this guy runs that tackle zone very, very well. He's getting the opportunity because Arian Foster is banged up and because Ben Tate also has four cracked ribs.
I've been wondering where this kid's been at because he's a stud on film. I mean, he's talented, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe he hasn't really been playing anywhere yet.
So when you guys start talking about the tackle zone and Denver Broncos and that style of running the ball, I start thinking of an O-line that tries to get you on the ground that's going to try and cut you.
Yes.
Is that still prevalent? Can they still do that in the NFL?
Yes. You know, all the new rules are typically made for the offense, you know, score points. They don't really do a lot for us. So, I mean, you don't get me wrong. I think, you know, that's just good for the game. But, I mean, we get cut all the time, you know. The biggest thing is just protecting yourself. You know, you go out there, play 100 miles per hour, you slide, play with your hands, and, you know, share the cut blocks. But we have our hands full playing the cut block. But if you play it right, and we can play it right, it gives you opportunity to make a lot more plays in the backfield.
So, Maddie, we haven't asked you, what did you do over the bye week? What did you do? You shut it down like Calais and do nothing and turn into a veg?
I did absolutely nothing. Laid on the couch, slept.
You, guy, you like the bye? You love the bye week?
Yeah, you need it. You need to get a chance to get your body back, get your legs back.
And that was by design, just, you know, on the couch, just do nothing. I mean, now you game plan that out. You wrote that down and next 4 days, do nothing.
I was planning it for weeks.
You were playing video games, weren't you? Matt, just admit it. You were playing video games, right?
Yeah,
a little Black Ops maybe or something like that.
Yeah,
cool. It's good. It's a lot of planning goes into a lot of recreating, you know, and doing nothing. I just wanted to confirm that over there. That's nice. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yes, Jack Roush still signing till 8 at Santan Ford. Back right after this.
So Chris Brown will come on for a 35-yard field goal try. Snap is low. The ball is down. The kick is blocked. The Cardinals block the field goal try. Calais Campbell looked like the guy who got it. He's already got one blocked field goal this year that was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, that was Antrell Roll, right? Jacksonville, the one earlier before. That was 2009 coming out of a bye. All right, so if you're looking for an omen, there you go. 2009 coming out of the bye. You played Houston. You had the block right there. And earlier in the season, you had block one. And Antrell Roll took it back.
Yeah. You know, that was nice, man. That was when you can push people from behind. And, you know, all I had to do was kind of, you know, turn my shoulders and get pushed through and jump. So much easier.
Who was the guy who used to push you? Who was the catalyst?
I always rotated so many times. It was always somebody, just whoever. I mean, last year it was Paris Lennon, you know, typically. I can't even remember from back then, but it was always one of the linebackers, you know, who just kind of gave me that shove and got me through.
Matt, you enjoy playing special teams and all?
Yeah. I mean, that's where I got my first start in the NFL.
What's your favorite team to play on?
Well, right now I like field goal. But I started on kickoff return on the wedge.
You were in the wedge? Mm-hmm. Back when you could actually have a wedge?
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
Back when you were on the Raiders. What was it like to be a Raider? What was that like?
I mean, it was fun. I mean, game days were exciting. The fans were crazy. And I mean, the group of guys I came in with, like my draft class, like they were great. And we all played, so we all fed off each other.
True or false there, Wolf? Secretly, you always wanted to be a Raider.
You know what? Look, I think if you played a contact position, if you were a guy that was a linebacker, if you were a guy defensive lineman, if you were a guy who was an offensive lineman, maybe a blocking fullback, right? Cannon fodder, shot out of the cannon. If you played a contact position, yes, you wanted to be a Raider. I mean, just the silver and black, right? You just to have the mantle, just to have that helmet on the mantle. By the way, did you keep your helmet? You got all three of them. Really? Is it up on the mantle, man?
No, or is it in a box? They're in storage right now.
Okay. Are you one of these guys that builds a shrine to yourself inside your house? I mean, you got all the jerseys hanging, the pictures, Matty.
If by shrine, you mean like a box in the closet. I got a huge one.
But are you saving it?
I'll take that as a no.
Are you saving it for retirement? Is something to go up once you're done playing?
Yeah, one day when I'm done, build a man cave, hang things up.
Yeah.
How many coaches did you have in your 4 years with the Raiders?
Head coaches or position?
Well, head coaches. How about that?
Three.
Who was your first coach? Was it Lane Kiffin?
No, it was Tom Cable.
Tom Cable, okay. Oh, yeah.
Cable guy.
And then after Cable, you went to?
It was...
Oh, that's tough now. That's tough. There's many, it's tough. Yeah, I should have prepped him. Yeah, I should have let him know this question. Hugh Jackson, that's right. Okay.
How about this one, Matty? Who's your favorite coach? Who's the favorite head coach you've ever played for?
Hugh was great. He was a player's coach, but then so was Tom.
Yeah. Tom Cable.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he drafted me.
If Wolf was asking the off-the-wall questions, you don't do an Al Davis impersonation, do you, at all? You don't do an Al Davis impersonation?
No.
No, you don't. Okay. Right. Was he around much when you were playing?
Yeah, he was there. He was always around the locker room. He'd show up at practice.
Yeah.
He'd walk around. He'd ask you questions. I mean, his body might not have worked properly, but his mind was 100% there.
Wow. You do any type of impersonations, Matt?
You got
no.
Well,
you know, a talent or something? I mean,
no.
Can you juggle?
No. I'll spare you and mention the guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Veterans Jewelers in Scottsdale and Paul Benzer Jewelers in Yuma. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, yes, with Calais Campbell and Matt Shaughnessy. He's probably never coming back. All presented by Santan right. Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And a reminder, the NFL kicks off its Salute to Service campaign this week, honoring military members. And the Cardinals will like to do that especially. They'll do that on Sunday with a bunch of different promotions and saying thanks to all current and former members of the military, including our own Walt Ellis over here, folks. How about a round of applause?
Yes, Vulture 13. Hey, guys, you know what? You think we're tough, right? We're football players, and you think we're tough. Here's a guy that was piloting a helicopter, took a bullet to the head through his helmet in Vietnam and bleeding with a bullet hitting his head. He continued to pick up and pilot that chop.
Wow.
You think we're tough?
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That's Vulture 13 right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. The league is going to donate, by the way, $100 for each point, and one of the foundations is the Pat Tillman Foundation that will benefit. The league raised nearly $1 million a year ago, and this week, Pat Tillman, the former Cardinal, and of course, member of the Army Rangers, would have been 37 this week, Pat Tillman. How about 224 tackles in the year 2000? How about that? A franchise record, Pat Tillman, who could definitely play himself some football. So what's going to be most important against Houston and stopping this Texans team that, you know, has moved the ball? They have not turned the ball over. At least Case Keenum has not. He has four touchdown passes and no interceptions the last 2 weeks, sir, Calais.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is getting penetration and stopping the run. You know, this zone scheme, you have to get penetration. They keep them to stop their feet and cut back before they want to. And, you know, that's the way they should have done the run. And then you got to get hits on the quarterback. I mean, he's athletic. He likes to scramble around and make things happen with his feet, you know, to keep the play alive. And he throws the ball down the field. He's a gunslinger. So we have to, you know, get to him before he throws it.
Matt, what'd you think about Paul's performance tonight?
No, not at all. No. What is your takeaway after this evening, your debut on the Big Red Rage, Matt? What is your takeaway? You're going to get in the car and you're going to be thinking about what exactly?
What I get myself into.
Exactly. Think twice when you get an invitation from Big Calais Campbell next time.
No, it was great. I like it.
No, you were great too, Matt. Seriously.
Absolutely. Outstanding addition here. Hey, special thanks as always, Jim Omohundro. Yes, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Calais Campbell and Matt Shaughnessy, everyone. We will see you next week on the Big Red Rage here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.